51, if you will. This is the second, this is not a second part of the message from this morning, but this is the outcome or the effect of this morning's message. Is that good? We were dealing with Nathan and David. And I was thinking, as I'm hearing you turn to Psalm 51, I was thinking how hard it must have been for Nathan, the prophet, to have to go to King David and confront him on his sin. Now we think, well, that's no problem. He was a prophet. No, you're kind of misconstruing. You're kind of looking at it wrong. David is the king of Israel. He's the uncontested king. He's got ultimate power and control. And Nathan is a prophet, yet he's still a man. So I'm sure when he's getting this word from God to go to him and present this to him in parable form, but in the end he's going to have to say, David, you are the man. That David could literally shift gears and go, I know I'm the man, and you're no longer going to live. It's boldness. It's a holy boldness. An ability to stand and tell the truth despite what will happen to you. Can I say this, that there's the message is not really going to hurt anybody. I could preach right there for a long time. The message is not going to hurt anybody. Even though it might seem it will. If somebody was to reject you, hurt you, or kill you because you shared the message, God would still be in it. If they seem like they didn't get anything out of it, being told would still be okay. Amen? Another thought on this I had when I was sitting here just thinking about this message this morning and tonight, I thought about Bathsheba. David, literally, I think Bathsheba might be his biggest mistake. Well, let's say it this way. It brought out all of his flaws. Amen? Have you ever had something? You know, David was really coronated when he stepped out there and fought Goliath. He was really exposed when Bathsheba happened. Amen? But do you know that even though all the bad that happened, that King Solomon came from that relationship? Probably his greatest or reckoned greatest son who followed him and had a king's, the way he ruled and reigned, was the wisest man that's ever lived. A man outside of Jesus Christ. And that came from that same relationship. I bet he looked at her every once in a while and said, you brought the best out of me and the worst. You ever? No. Some of you men kind of keeping it straight face right now. Good, good, good. Women too, we're there. Amen? But I thought that was so good that, you know what, I'm thinking the worst things that ever happened in my life brought out all of a mess, but today I wouldn't take anything for a lot of my mistakes. I've learned more through my mistakes than I have my successes. Amen? It makes you who you are. Y'all ready? Now we look at it from a period of time. David's writing this message. He's writing this psalm from a direct encounter from Nathan. This is what happened after he says, you're the man. He pins this down and somebody, well, I don't know if it wouldn't matter if it wasn't, but it's good. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Pulling out all the mercies. Amen. God, all your mercy. I love all your loving kindness, your mercies. Lord, I need all of that. I love how, see, remember, if we'll go back to listen to what he said, what did he say when Nathan told him? We need to kill this man. This man's going to die. But now when he's talking about himself because he recognizes him, it's, oh God, have mercy and tender kindness. Now, that's how we can transcend to there. When we find ourselves, we ask God for mercy, and then we're able to dole that out or give that out when somebody else is standing in need. Remember in the message this morning, I said, God can shut your mouth. He can make you walk away from some gossip groups. He can make you walk away from some conversations. He can make you stop talking about how bad somebody else is and make you say, not how bad they are, but, oh, God, thank you, and give them mercy, the same mercies you gave me. The same help that you gave me. The same tender love and kindness that you showed me. God, I want them to get that because that's how you dealt with me. Whew. I love this. I love, listen, if you get Psalm 51 figured out, it's a desperate cry. Amen? And that's the way we should pray. Our prayers are too clean sometimes. Y'all have heard me say that? They're not gritty enough. We pray, we stay too clean during our prayers because we don't talk serious with God. When you get serious with God, you'll cry out. When you're getting serious about what you really want, if you really want somebody to be saved, if you really want things to change in your home, if you really want things to happen, you will get so serious that when somebody probably heard your prayer, they'll probably think you've been drinking. Amen? I'm serious. They'll probably think you've either been drinking or you've just stopped drinking and you're hungover. Amen? Remember, you'll get back here. Amen? Samuel's mama, when she was praying, the prophet come to her belt, knelt down, said, "Sis, how long you been at the wine?" I bet that was offensive to her. But she told us, "I ain't been drinking. I've been," God, I love how she said, "I've been pouring myself out to God. I ain't been pouring out alcohol into my system. I've been pouring myself out." It looks a lot the same. Same result. You drink enough, you'll empty yourself out. God, somebody should have shouted or said amen there. And if you do the same with God, sometimes it'll look like you're pouring every good thing out of you. But there's good results in the other. There's good results in pouring yourself out before God. Ugly prayers have beautiful answers. Somebody write that down and give it to me later. I say some stuff every once in a while. I wished I was smart enough to remember I said it. I'm serious about that. Somebody writing it down and give it to me. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly. Let's go back up. I don't want to rush out of that. Blot out my transgressions. Cover my sins. Amen. I love how David's dealing with his sin. He ain't sugarcoating what it's done. Sometimes if we get forgiveness of people and they go back to trusting us too soon, then we'll just act like we never done nothing. Sometimes we need to be humble and broken about our mess. I mean, he's talking about his sin. God brought this out. Cover this. Ain't you glad God covered some stuff? No, I ain't talking about the stuff you'd give you in the testimony. I'm talking about the stuff you'd hold in reserve. Some of y'all got a testimony, and you'll stand out and say, "God's been good and has saved me." But if somebody said, "Give me some details," you'd have to look around in the crowd to see. Wait a minute. Never mind. I don't know which version to tell you, because if I tell you some stuff, well, I know somebody's going to clutch their purse, and there might be some people say, "I don't know if we really want him here or not." I better go ahead and clear that other part. I don't know if we want her here or not. All the women is feeling strong right there for a minute. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Sometimes you just got to call it what it is. When you sin, call it sin. Amen? Lord, do a washing on. Hey, get in there and wash me out. I love that. Amen. God, hey, get inside my mind and how I think and how I operate. Listen, I love this about David. Do you know how different, what the contrast of David was in this story? Do you know there was a time when he wouldn't kill a man that was probably necessary to kill? King Saul had threw a javelin at that man and tried to take his life. God had removed himself from Saul. He had multiple times where he could have killed Saul and probably would have been just in it, and he couldn't bring himself to touch him. But then when he runs into an honorable man who's more honorable than Saul, he didn't have a problem handwriting the letter, sealing it, handing it to him, and having him kill himself. Man, do you see the contrast? I wish somebody in here would get this. You can go further than you think you can go. You can do worse than you think you can do. This is good right here. Hey, David's saying, God, you need to get in there and scrub a little. Amen? Apply some of that scrub to my, put that blood to my sin. I need to be washed. And I'm surprised sometimes. Have you ever found yourself slipping? God, I'm going to keep preaching until I hit a nerve. Have you ever found yourself slipping, even when you got a good solid walk with Christ, everybody, and you find yourself letting the little foxes creep back in? Amen? You look around and you thought, man, how in the world? And you know what it is? The devil, he's a smart adversary. He don't mind to start over. He don't mind to start over. What he'll do is he'll say, wait a minute, I might not be able to get them to smoke, drink, lie, cuss, or steal, but I can get them to start back over where I got them when they were 8, 9, and 10. Maybe telling a half-truth, which is a whole lie. Maybe watching something or doing something that you normally wouldn't do, but all of a sudden you get drawn in and you're thinking more like the world than you are God. It don't take much. Amen? Do you know what this trip really boiled down to? Is, hey, David just walked out on the balcony on the day where he should have been. I should have got this morning. I'm glad God's good to me. You know what? Sometimes just being busy as a man is a ministry. Never mind, I'll say it again. Sometimes as a man, just being busy is a ministry. So, hey, stay at work. Stay doing something. Keep going, because if you stand around long enough, you'll probably get into something that ain't good. Whew. Man, I close my book and go home on that one. That's how to preach to this generation and then some. Amen? Just, hey, that's a minute. Just staying, you'd be surprised at the things you get into just sitting idle. David just took one walk out on the balcony. He should have been in the battlefield. He should have been where he's supposed to be. It was the time for kings to go to battle. When I read it, I know we're not warriors and stuff like that. But you know what? It's high time the church go back into the battlefield. It's time for us to get back engaged in this world. We've been too long away from the battlefield. We're occupied with everything but God's stuff most of the time. Verse 3, you good? I'm excited about this. It's about the best preaching I've got to do in a while. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin as ever before me. That's the heart. Do you know what this took? This took Nathan coming to him and showing him in a parable, putting that mirror. Remember this morning? I'm just preaching this morning's message was a little bit added on to it. Praise God. All he did was put a mirror in front of him and showed him himself. He just said, look, I want to show you something. And when he got a good look at it, it made him acknowledge his sin. It made him say, hey, guess what? I'm in trouble here. It ain't my neighbor. It ain't my mom. It ain't my dad. It ain't my brother. It ain't my sister. It ain't my wife. It's me. Oh, Lord, it's me. Look, I'm standing in need of something. I need to acknowledge that me and God's got issues. Man, we think somewhere in the world God's going to all of a sudden just change his mind and say, no, Kevin, you do it your way, and then I'll bend to your rule. You can forget it. That's not God. God said, I'm God and I change not. I ain't going. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. Amen. I love this, man. I acknowledge what you do. So, man, we try to blame everybody and try to, you know, get somebody on our side about it. Well, you know, this is the way I've always been. I was raised this way. This is the things that, man, and my God. No, this is what God says about it, and I'm wrong. I better make a move. My sin is before me. Man, he exposed him, didn't he? Do y'all get this? It's just a song, literally just a prayer that he's made, and he is thanking God for exposing his sin to him. Man, he's thinking, God, you're faithful. I'm glad. Listen, sometimes we think the worst thing ever happened to us if God was to tell us something wrong or show us somewhere where we're weak. But it's the greatest thing because he loves us so much. God loves us enough to tell us the truth. Some friends on the face of this planet love you enough to tell you the truth. Sometimes we put people in the wrong categories. Amen? We got people in the friend list that aren't friends. They tell us what we want to hear. They could care less about you. Then you got a friend who will come up and he'll say, "Hey, look, man, you are a mess. I hate you. Your girlfriend's cheating on you. You're a liar. You're a hater." No, it's true. Amen? Remember when you was young, I hated that. Hey, you would see somebody being cheated on. You had to debate whether you was going to go tell them. Do I want to get in a fist fight? Y'all must have grew up in a different part of Tennessee than I did. I'm sorry. Goodness gracious. I mean, I remember your old knot-headed boys, you know what I mean? Tommy's over there with your girl. No, not. I'm going to whoop you. What I have to do with it? Never mind. I'm just reliving my past right there for a minute, if you didn't mind. Verse 4 is going to get good. Y'all ready to get doctrinally good? This is going to blow your mind, because when I first read it, I got a little upset. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Let's go back to the first part of that verse. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." When I first read that, I said, "Not so." Are you kidding me? You killed a man. Don't you think you should add Uriah's name in there? I mean, I know y'all don't read the Bible and go, "Oh, quack, that's weird." Amen? But I do every once in a while. Really, I'm looking at them like, "Wait a minute, you only acknowledge you sinned against God?" Yes, because guess what? Uriah was a sinner. Uriah was a human being. Uriah had flaws. He's not God. Whew. How about Bathsheba? Could you put her in the mix? Because you ruined her life. She's not God. She's a sinner too. She's got flaws. Now I'm telling you, y'all look like I did when I read it. Amen. I'm just saying, guess what? When I figured it out, it's right. Because guess what? The problem when you sin, there's one person you got to get right with. And I don't care what sin that is. It's between you and God. Amen? Because let me tell you this, everybody on the face of this planet, you have a certain appointed time to get your life right before God. And you ain't got no promises of when you're going to die or when you're going to live and how that's going to happen. Amen? Can I say this? I don't know if we get into this kind of thing, but I do. Uriah had the best testament life for God, living and dying. He followed God's anointed man unto his own death without question. When he entered into heaven, I guarantee you, God said, "You were a bright and shining star on the face of the planet Earth. You are a bright and shining star. You are one of my heroes." Amen? Amen? Because not only did you died a pretty weird death, but praise God, you showed yourself brighter than probably the person that I had anointed and made king over Israel. You were brighter than him for a good while. Are you hearing me now? That's pretty big stuff. But let me get back to the doctrinal part of it. If you get your heart right with God, then you can live with man. Amen? That's why the first commandments are lined up with God and the next ones are lined up with man. Because if you get that one right, you ain't got to worry about living for man. Because if you'll live for God right, I'll treat you right. I ain't going to steal your stuff. I'm not going to covet your stuff. I'm not going to take your wife, because guess what? I've got me and God figured out. But when I don't get this one right, all these kind of go weird. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." When it all comes down to it, what all matters is you getting your relationship with God right. Your soul being right with God is all that matters. It's all God is working on you all the time. Whew. Man, that's a big deal, ain't it? Verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I love that. He was born into sin. He was born on the wide path. He said, "That's how I was made." He said, I put my... Listen, let's write this down about David. The only thing that David never did that shines in his corner, he never had another God other than God. Even on the worst day. Amen? That's a big deal. Amen? Because guess what? Hey, you can do a lot of weird stuff as long as you understand who God is. Now, we'll get there. I just want you to hear this. Behold, thou despisest truth... Desirest, not despises. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I want you to hear this. And this is absolutely true about being a Christian. I don't care how good of a Christian you are in front of people. God knows your heart. And who you are when you're all alone and you can or you can be anybody you want to be, that's who you really are. You get that? I want to say that again because there's a big mystery. I love when people say, I thought you was a Christian. I thought you was this. Listen, praise God, I want to be a Christian when there ain't nobody watching. When I can do whatever. I mean, if I go to Florida or if I go to, you know, just go out of town for something, I want to live for God when I could do whatever I want to do. Amen? Go into a hotel room, do whatever you want. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to break my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to be a good representative wherever I go. Because if I'm not, if you're not, you're a fraud. You're a fraud. You hear me? If you don't do that, you're a fraud. Because anybody can come in here and shout and praise and run and act the part for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Pray God, it's when you leave here. Amen. It's when you're all alone. And can I tell you this? I'm just pouring my heart out right here on you. Listen, God's better when it's just you and Him. I'm telling you, I did some stuff when we're alone that I want to share. And He goes, no, that's just between you and me. But it's really good. It's like, I know, but it's just between you and me. Man, I have some times with God. I mean, my kids get a little bit embarrassed because I cry. I weep. They'll come in the room and they're like, what's going on with Dad? He's just having a meltdown with God. I don't mind having a meltdown with God. It's better than having a meltdown because I'm a drunk or an alcoholic or they don't know me. I'd rather them come and catch me in a room praying or weeping before God other than doing something I shouldn't be doing. They're only afraid that I'll pull them on in and make them get involved with me. Go ahead, turn your Bible to John chapter 3. I'll do it. I ain't above it. I'm like, look, let me show you something. They're like, oh, man. Amen. I'm going to leave a legacy. But you want to leave a legacy with your kids, but it's all about what you're doing in your private time. This is God desires it on the inward parts when nobody else will know. Do you think of Him often? Do you talk to Him a lot? Do you conversate with God? Do you meditate on Him? Do you meditate on His Word? Do you meditate on things that are... That's the thing God likes. But can I tell you this? Men and women in here, wouldn't you... Let me crack in there and get in that cranium of yours just for a minute. Wouldn't you like it if you knew your husband was thinking about you all day long? Man, she's so pretty. She's so smart. Man, she does so much for us. I said, man, I can't believe I'm married to her. Now, listen, I'm just being honest. If you could tune into that, come on, if you could tune into that and you could hear that, wouldn't that just be like, wow? Amen. And all of a sudden, what your wife, man, he's so strong. He's so smart. He's handsome. Man, I'm in love with him. Man, I just love spending time with Him. I just like being next to Him. I'm glad He protects us. I'm glad He provides for us. I'm glad He's my soulmate. I'm glad God put us together. Man, wouldn't it be... Man, listen to this. I want you to hear it. God can hear your heart. He can hear it. What is He hearing? I hate her. I hate this. I don't like this. I don't like what you did this. I don't like what you did that. I don't like get church member. I don't like this. I don't like that. And the whole time God's sitting there going, I would just like to hear one thing about me. Well, I can just bless your socks off and then you'd get hooked up and realize you don't have to talk about anything but me. Amen. I like to tell you the truth. I almost lost it right there. Y'all probably seen, but I almost lost it. I hate when I can control and not lose it. More than I like being able to control it. God loves us so much. He wants to hear from your heart that you love Him. It doesn't matter what people think. It don't matter how marked up your Bible is. Don't matter how often people see you do this. Don't even matter if anybody even knows you do anything. If God knows you love Him, my God, how He can use you. You don't have to be used a whole lot. I'm just wearing you out right here with this. But you know, this is one of the few stories with Nathan and David in it. It's a one-shot deal, but it's a kind of a big deal, ain't it? Whew. Bringing the king back to where he needed to be. Man, sometimes God will just let you might not preach a great sermon in front of 1,000 people, but you might say one thing to the right person. Whew. I need to get somewhere, right? Purge me with a hyssop, verse 7. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It kind of sounds impossible, don't it? He's a murderer, by the way. I love reading the Bible because God don't take all the good stuff and put it on the pages and hide all the bad stuff. I mean, He exposes everybody in this Bible, amen? We're following a bunch of men who were murderers, amen? Moses, I mean, they were murderers. Man, if God just says, listen, they come to a place of repentance, says, God, wash me whiter, and I shall be whiter than snow. And guess what? You are. Man, I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad I can be considered whiter than snow, even though I should not be, amen? And you should not be either. Look at the repetitiveness of He's talking about wash me. Who's doing the washing? God. Now, you got to get before Him. There's nothing going to be clean. God, I wish I could preach this to about 4,000 people right here. You ain't ever going to do nothing to make yourself clean. It's all about what God does. Because see, the devil will keep telling you, now you got to do a bunch of good stuff. You got to get back. You got to build yourself back up. No. What you got to do is you got to get down before God and say, God, wash me. I'm dirty again. God, wash me. You know what He does? Praise God. We ain't got to, maybe I'll go read my Bible, and then I'll pray, and then I'll make it to church, and then I'll be better, and then I'll talk to God. No, it don't work like that. You talk to God first. When you mess up, when you do something wrong, when you say something you shouldn't say, think something you think, don't run as far as you can run, then fall down and call on to God. Call on to God quick. The devil, he'll say, no, you done messed up now. Don't talk to Him now. He's a liar and has been since the beginning. He's the father of all lies. If He says to do something, do the opposite right away. Man, I get into that trap. I've been into that trap. Oh, you better not go to. You're not anointed now. You're not called now. What? I probably need to preach now then. Amen. I better pray now. I better talk to God now. I better get to where I'm supposed to be now. Verse 5. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. When I first read that, I was like, man, he didn't. But broken bones get, but you know what? It's way worse than broken bones for him. Amen? Way worse than broken bones. God took his child. God took the child. His bones ain't broken. His heart's broke. That's a brokenness that you can't even explain. When you love somebody so deep, when you're tied into somebody, there's some people in here, you've lost somebody you've loved, and you've tied into them so deep, when they're gone, that ain't broken. That's deep hurt. That's hurt that you just don't get over. That's hurt that hurt then, and it stopped hurting, and it hurts again, and it stopped maybe hurting, but you don't know if it stopped hurting or you're just numb, and now you're hurting again. He's broken. But he's thanking God for the brokenness, because the brokenness brought him back to God. Man, one of these days, if you serve God long enough, you'll thank God for the brokenness that brings you back to Him. Whew. Because you'll be thanking God that you got somebody who cares enough to break you, to bring you back. See, the devil don't break none of his. He lets them keep running until it runs right into the gates of hell. God will break you and break you and break you until you're laying on your back going, God, thank you for the breaking. I'm hurting. This is the punishment's overwhelming. But thank you for breaking me. That's where he's at right here. Thank you for breaking me. Listen, do you think Nathan would have ever thought this was going to be the outcome, that he'd be just praising God for the broken message? Sometimes as preachers, we want to preach messages that send people to work or send them a little bit higher level for God. We want them to get excited, but the ones that really work are the ones that bring them to conviction and bring them to a place where they get broken before God and let God fix that healing, and then they go to work. Because it's hard to go to work for God if you still got your mess. Amen. Amen. Verse 9. Hide thy face from thy sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Every time I've read this in my life, I know exactly what he means right here. I've preached one time. I preached in a revival one time, and about the last 5 minutes of it, I preached myself. Y'all don't get that. I was preaching, and I should have stopped, and I knew it, God knew it, and apparently my wife knew it. Amen? And I thought, no, God, I want to make one more point. And I did, and I felt it. I felt God's Spirit go, whew. Amen? And I was at our Stillwaters Baptist Church down in somewhere in Chatsworth, Georgia. I still remember I was about the first, second revival I ever preached. I was preaching. I was in it with four guys. Three of them quit, and I had to preach every night but one night. And I was preaching. I thought, I got one more point. And I went to preach it, and guess what? It was like the Holy Spirit just, whew. Everybody in that room just, and I went, man, this feels like dirt. This tastes like dirt. This is terrible. I got out of it. I'm done with this. We went and closed the service. Nothing happened. It was riding home, and my wife looks over, and she goes, I've never asked you this ever. And she had never. She goes, were you supposed to stop preaching like about 4 or 5 minutes before that? Of course, the first response was be quiet. I'm not perfect. I'm just being honest. Be quiet. Mind your own business. Do you want to preach? Sorry. If I can't be real with you, then we need to get off the thing. A few minutes later, I looked at her and I said, oh my gosh, I knew better. I went too far. I should have stopped. She goes, God was really moving right then. And I knew you. She goes, that's scary, ain't it? I said, yeah, real scary. She goes, don't ever do that again. I won't. Amen? So I know what he's talking about. And there's other times, there's been other times in ministry where, like, I've read the Bible and I've kind of, oh gosh, I hate doing this. I'm going to let somebody else preach one night. Get to that place where you think, oh man, I got this. I could preach anything. And you sit there with the Bible in front of you going, anytime now, God. I mean, we're going in tomorrow. No, you can preach anything. Just go ahead. I mean, just knock it out, Dad. Go ahead. I mean, just knock out a message. I'm sorry. Because I need that Spirit. Don't remove that from me. I need that right Spirit. I need that Holy Spirit. Amen. I won't even show up if you don't do something soon. Amen. So David, he's like, look, I miss this. That clean feeling, that Spirit in me. I miss that. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with the free spirit. He didn't say, restore my salvation. I don't really care about that doctrine at all. I'm just saying, he's talking about, hey, bring back the joy. Because Christianity, if we're not careful, becomes a job. It becomes a position. It becomes what you have to do, not what you get to do. When the day that it becomes what I have to do, I don't want to do it. Amen. Y'all don't believe this. I do it all the time, and I'm not just trying to tell you. I love preaching here. I love it. And every time somebody's been, you have to preach this. I'm like, man, that's what I get to do. I love that. I preach every day. That's what I love to do. And I get to come in, and I'm like thinking, man, you people keep showing up. You get to. The day that you sit and go, well, I have to do this for God, you need to reassess what you're doing. I don't ever get mad when people, well, they're going to do this. It ain't about that. It's about getting to do it. He said, you're preaching a shack. I'll preach anyway. I love the Word of God. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire trapped up in your bones. That's the best illustration in the Bible. Because if you try to keep that in, it will kill you. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, how do you know you've been called to preach? Because I can't not. I tried it. I told her, I ain't going to do it again. I got mad. Hey, I've had my feelings hurt. If you stay in Christianity, you'll get your feelings smashed and burnt and stabbed, and they'll run back and forth over you like a snake on the road. Sorry. I'm going to do it. if it's in you, man, you will not, you'll hear a word coming. You say, I've got to tell somebody this word. Amen. You say, I've got to share this. I call my wife a regular, I can't wait till Wednesday. She's like, oh gosh. I can see her. Amen. All right. I don't know where we're at on the scripture, but let's get there. Restore unto me the joy. Verse 12. Restore unto the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. Ain't that cool? How God does that in our lives? He changes us and we start changing others. He goes, I'm going to help some other people. I'll help some other people messed up like me. I'll go to the transgressor. The people that are sinners, I will go to them and tell them, and it don't start out with, you better get this figured out. Hey, I was just like you. I mean, I was a murderer, lying, manipulator, man. I had everything, and I went after everything I shouldn't have went after, and God restored me. He can restore you too. Ain't that cool? Amen. God, hey, this world really doesn't need a lot of people. It needs somebody to sit down beside them and tell them there's a way out of a mess. They don't need, I mean, everybody, anybody can tell, you're sinner, you're wrong. Yeah, I know you're wrong. Hey, they need to know, if you love them enough, listen to this, I want you to write this down somewhere. If you love somebody enough and love them the right way, you can just about tell anybody anything. Do you know that? If somebody knows you really love them and you tell them and they know you love them, yeah, you can just about tell them anything. Now, listen, but if they don't think you love them, you might as well be, you might get punched in the face. Or worse. Amen? Golly. Verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my the tongue shall give aloud, sing aloud of thy righteousness. Verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest, delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. He said, God, thank you for breaking my heart because that's the sacrifice you wanted. God don't really, it's kind of weird because we say this because we got it all mixed up in our world. We think God's pleased with the stuff we do or the stuff we bring, but all he really wants you to do is bring your heart. Amen? He wants you to bring your broken heart to him where he can mend it and make it and develop it. But we think we're going to please him by bringing him stuff, but he's the God of all the stuff. Amen? Oh God, I'm going to please you. I'm going to build a big, big temple. Oh, I couldn't fit in it. Amen? Oh God, I'm going to bring you all kinds of treasure. Yeah, but I made it. I mean, I made the metal, I made all the gold and all the silver, I made all that. It's really not that. In heaven, it's kind of like what you would find at Home Depot. I mean, gates of pearl, streets of gold. That's Home Depot, so that's what they build with up there, not what they put in their treasury. Amen? The guy that shows up with gold, you know, makes it to the gate. Look, he brought pavement. Sorry. Why would you bring pavement? Sorry. I just thought it was neat. But if you think about that, that's the way God is. He wants your broken and contrite. He wants a soft heart and a soft spirit that seeks him. When you get there, and if you can't be broken a lot, then you need to go back to your relationship with him and figure out why you can't be broken. Because sometimes I don't really get any joy out of people being in sin and being lost and the world going the way it's going. I don't get any enjoyment out of that. I get broken out of that. Amen? And my sin probably, it bothers me more than anybody else's sin does. Verse 18. Do good in thy good pleasure, sure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Took me forever to figure out that last part. Took me forever. I was like, what are you talking about? God says, if you get a broken and contrite spirit and let me dwell in you and let me work in you, then you can do all the sacrificing you want. Then I really will be pleased in it. You can do all the work. You can do all the good stuff. You can build me buildings. You can bring me treasures. You can do all that stuff. And praise God, it'll be honorable unto me because guess what? Your heart will be right. But if you try to do all that stuff before your heart's right, then you're just a phony and a fake, and I'm not in that. And guess what? I don't hear it. All your prayers and all your fasting and all you're doing is absolutely nothing to me. Matter of fact, it stinks. You know what God said about that? These people were offering stuff up and putting it on there, and it's like a big cookout. All the smells from the bullocks and stuff would go up, and you'd think, man, that smells good. God said, man, that stinks in my nose because your heart's not right. But you know what? If you did it in a right heart, he'd say, man, that smells good. But you know what else smells good? The fragrance of their heart. The sweet spirit of their heart towards me is what really smells good to me. And I'll honor their blessing. I'll honor what they give me by giving back to them. Whew. That's good, right? You know what all this came from? Is God breaking a man's heart that loved him, that had got out of his will. And God just crushed him with one message. And he wrote this psalm. That way when we get into a mess, we'll have a blueprint of what to do or how to get back in line with God. It really comes down to this. Getting down on your face and saying, oh God, clean me. Wash me. I understand that I've sinned against you. Lord, my heart's broke because your heart's broke. And after you get this right, God, I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing before, but I'm going to do it with a right heart. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Amen? It's been a pretty neat day, hasn't it? Amen. Has Nathan and David changed your life today? Has it kind of tweaked you, made you better, made you different? I hope. If not, go home, listen to both messages again, and apply them to your life. Let's stand as they come get a song of invitation.